But for this discussion today, get the politics behind us, because what I'm going to talk about are policies that are being adopted, rules that are being adopted, statutes that are being passed, regulations that are being adopted that are going to affect, that are having effect, that should have effect, in places do have effect, will be having effect here on our business, on the mortgage business, on the real estate, commercial real estate business particularly, whether or not you are in agreement that they should be done or shouldn't be done doesn't matter. Organizations that we have to deal with for funds for our clients, either for buying and selling things or for borrowing money, at some point in the not too distant future are going to be impacted by these regulations and these kind of policies. And so we need to be aware of that and deal with it, whether or not we agree with the underlying economics, politics, or science, okay? Let's just deal with realities and get the politics out of the way. And by the way, all of this affects homes, because as well as commercial property. I'm a commercial lawyer. I imagine most of you in the room are, or many of you are. And so my view of the world is through the lens of somebody who deals with shopping centers and office buildings, mixed-use projects, of that mostly urban kind of stuff. But when we talk about these policies and these regulations, the New York regulations just deal with New York buildings, but those include residential buildings. And the lawyers in New York who I've spoken to about this, who represent co-ops and condos, are particularly bothered by this because they don't have the resources that are going to be needed that hopefully commercial buildings have to deal with the measurement of these emissions and the reduction of these emissions. And so residential or commercial, the buildings in Manhattan are they're targeted for these kinds of fines if they don't work on this policy. So, okay, this is real. In some places right now, I think it's coming here. I want you to understand what's going on. What we're talking about goes by the slang term of decarbonization, which is to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide put into the atmosphere as part of climate change. Global warming, call it climate change, call it whatever you want. It has to do with the warming of the atmosphere and the warming of the earth. As I understand the science, question. Brian, do you know anything about science? No, I was a history major. But I had a chemistry major and a physicist major as roommates, and so I can pronounce the words and fake it pretty good. But what I have come to understand is that what we're dealing with in the emissions of carbon dioxide, which is a lot of what comes out of tailpipes of cars, it comes out of different sources, many different sources, is that carbon dioxide hangs around in our atmosphere, around the Earth. The sun shines on our world like it always has, or has for the last, whatever, billions of years. And the Earth reflects a certain amount of that heat that comes in from the sun. The fact that we've got a high amount of carbon dioxide, higher amounts than historically of carbon dioxide in the air, the scientists say, is causing kind of a blanket around the world, and that is holding in some of that heat that would otherwise have been reflected out into the world, or out into space, and so our world is warming instead of maintaining the status that of even heat in and heat out that we would have had without the greenhouse gases. Now, greenhouse gases, is the primary greenhouse gas is carbon dioxide. Methane is also one, which is the same chemical as natural gas. And these come from various sources, of course. And then nitrous oxides, which is not a carbon-based gas, is also a part of this. The policies that are being adopted, folks, will have significant cost and changes in the way we have to do business. On some of the slides that you've got in your paper, I hope, that I didn't think of to put up here, there's estimates that the cost of this compliance to reduce our carbon dioxide in the air could be as much as $1 trillion a year. I'm talking about for the next to 2050. So we're talking a lot of money. That's about 4% of the GDP that would be have to be invested in this effort if this effort is wise and if we keep doing it. So decarbonization is the slang term for reducing the amount of carbon dioxide and methane. The carbon dioxide comes from, look at the slides attached to my paper, largely from, not from buildings. If you look at the slides, you can see that buildings produce only a small amount, anywhere from 6 to 10% maybe, of carbon dioxide that is direct attributable to buildings burning natural gas. In the Northeast, fuel oils, down here, what we do in buildings, what we use in the buildings is electricity for our air conditioning. In the Northeast, it's for heating. And the nitrous oxides are not a part of this discussion. Methane in its form of natural gas is part of the discussion. And then also I find it humorous that part of the program for controlling greenhouse gases involves reducing the amount of bovine flatulence. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Either stop eating beef so that we have fewer bovines to flatulate, or there's some discussion about feeding them a diet of seaweed, and that will reduce the amount of the chemical reactions in their stomachs that produce the natural gas that then becomes the problem. All right, how are buildings involved in this? And here's one of the key